and do that. Today, the message title is called Be, here we go, you got it? Be the Light. And you're going to turn with me in just a moment to John chapter 3, and I know you know the verse already. You've got it memorized. But this is the first Sunday of Advent. Can I tell you my story again? The first time I ever was at a wreath lighting was at the Lutheran Church here in New Philadelphia 34 years ago. I went there and I saw what was unbelievable to me, because the guy started lighting the candles, and then I asked him what he was going to do every week after that. And it was exciting. The Lutherans have an Advent wreath that's bigger than that Christmas tree. In fact, it's about from that Christmas tree to here. It hangs by chains from the ceiling and has big pillar candles in all four places and a huge candle for the Christ candle in the center. When I saw it, I said, my goodness. You know the phrase I used, threw the baby out with the bathwater. Sometimes we do that. Oh, tradition, and I don't want it. I'm telling you. I want you to realize something today about your place in the story. One of the things that as staff and I have prayed about this Advent season was a theme that would carry us through the 4 weeks. And that theme this year is Be the Gift. Be the gift. This Thursday, we're going to be the gift. I hope this afternoon. I hope tonight. Tonight is a prayer meeting. You can do it one of two ways. You can go on Facebook and look up Region 2 Prayer. That's all you have to do. Region 2 Prayer, and like the page, and you can be on at 6 o'clock in a virtual prayer meeting that we're going to be having. It is at Minerva. It is at True North. That's where Ruthie and I will be tonight. And we'll be praying from there with Pastor Dave, our presbyter. Ruthie's the assistant presbyter, and I'm the executive presbyter. So we're going to lead an area prayer meeting via Facebook and live. And that's why they call it Facebook Live, because it'll be right there from 6 to 7. And, of course, it's like any radio, TV, whatever, CD. All you got to do is push the off button, and that'll be the end of your time spending. You don't have to stay the whole hour. But I think once you get started, you're going to find out an hour passes quickly. And Jesus did this with his own disciples, and you know what happened at that prayer meeting. So we're not worried about who attends, who does, who prays, or who doesn't pray. What we want is God's presence, and we need an answer to this prayer. Ohio for Jesus. And it'll be at 6 o'clock tonight. You don't have to drive to Minerva. Just get on your Facebook, phone, tablet, home computer. Yes. It is on, if you go to Lifeway page, all of you are on that. Most of you are, and several hundred others. You can go right from there. The link is on that page. And at 6 o'clock, you can be a part of that prayer meeting. I'm going to give you four directives tonight of how we're going to pray in that hour. So 15 minutes is going to pass, 15 minutes, 15 minutes, 15 minutes. But I'm going to do what they tell you not to do when you're preparing sermons. Don't tell them everything in the beginning. I'm going to tell them everything in the beginning. Because really what I want people to do is connect with us to heaven. I want God and you to have a good time. If you just remember 6 o'clock, oh, they're praying right now. Let's pray, family, and just pray. Or maybe you just get alone private and get the word out. You will be where we need to be, and that is in the presence of God, and we will be connected. So in the process of setting all these things up, how many of you have full calendars already? Right up through New Year's, right up till we start another one. Can you imagine that? Oh, yesterday I said, wow, 25 days, now it's 24. And really, it's only 23 because we're halfway through this day. And Christmas is here. And it'll be history. Are you ready? Will you be the gift? So today, as we look at this circle that's before us. It's called Advent. And every Sunday, every week actually, it's supposed to be a week-long celebration. And you contemplate, you meditate, you think about the candles that we're going to light. It's an anticipation. It's almost like that old song, how many of you know the 12 days of Christmas? Yeah. When you start that 12th day and you start counting down those numbers. This is what Advent does, but it does it for the whole month of December, beginning the first Sunday of the month. And we're in that this year in particular. And we light a candle because we're on a journey. Could you go back just a little bit? Troy, could we go forward a little bit in our slides? Could you go back and let's take the journey with a young couple, a teenage mother, pregnant with the Son of God. Now try to tell everybody that. Think of what she was going through, what he was going through. And here's Mary and Joseph on their way because they had to be taxed. Anybody here pay taxes? Yeah, we all do, don't we? Wow. Anybody here love paying your taxes? I didn't think so. Anybody here like filled potholes? Yeah, well, that's part of your taxes, by the way. They're going to Bethlehem, which was, you know, Joseph. Mary was not pregnant with Joseph's son. Mary was pregnant with God's son. This is the journey. I just want to talk to you a little bit through the journey. We're going to journey our way through there to Bethlehem. Why Bethlehem? The city of David. There's a prophecy, Isaiah, 800 years before Christ ever came to earth, it was prophesied. Oh, Bethlehem, Ephrathah. And God sends Mary to Bethlehem because that's where Joseph was from. He's not a fifth wheel. So, they're going to Bethlehem on a journey. And if you look, as they travel down the road, there's a little boy over in the corner. What would we call him? That's right, a shepherd. And those are his sheep. And in the midst of all those sheep is one Lamb of God. You know, shepherd boys had sheep on the hill, and they had certain sheep that were selected for sacrifice. And here, riding among them with no idea, like I think sometimes it is on Sundays even in church, no idea that the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords is in the midst of. So you're on a journey. You're anticipating Christmas. I trust that you will know that that's what Advent means, anticipation. A journey forward, journeying back. I've got so much history that I'll have to fill you in another couple of weeks because it's unreal when you really hear the story one more time. I mean, if you've got grandkids, isn't it fun, Debbie? How many times have we read those books that the girls love? And you ask them, what do you want to do? They'll run and grab their book, and they'll want to read the story one more time. I hope you're like a kid today on a journey to Bethlehem. Something is coming. Something is coming. For God so loved the world. Well, my screen just disappeared. Here, I'd do it. For God so loved the world that he what? He loved the world. Somehow we're missing that, aren't we? In the preaching of the gospel. We always almost think he hates the sinner because my sin hung him on the cross. But the truth is, God loved you. That's what this needs to focus on. Be the gift. that he gave his only begotten Son, that what? Whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Sorry, but I've got to reload this thing and it's not wanting to cooperate with me. Here we are. Thank you. There we go. Turn with me to Matthew 22. Thank you, Troy. Just in case, that's good. Matthew 22:36. Following that opening for an Advent service, listen to these words. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That was preached to you this year as part of our series, Love. Love the Lord. This is the first and greatest commandment, and then the second. There are over 600 now commandments, along with the 10 that most of us can't keep. 600. Jesus said there are two. One, love God. Two, is like it. Read that again. And the second is like it. Love, there it is. That's a powerful word. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. You've known that since you were a little kid. You've known John 3:16. That was one of the first verses you ever memorized. And then you got this thing with the two commandments, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and body, and love your neighbor as yourself. And we quote it. We know it. We feel it. Are we that? And that's what's brought us to this point today. Be the gift. So we light our first candle of Advent, and that's a candle of love. You see them here, love, joy, peace, and hope. We've been on the journey. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4. This was exciting for me because when I thought about it, and I'm going to explain it a little bit more, but when I heard the word be the gift, and that was something that Leslie in our staff meeting reminded us of. And she said, isn't the first Sunday of Advent the love candle? Yes. Well, back in the summer, I preached this message about love, and we went on that, and it changed our mind. It changed our thinking. It was part of our cultural shift. And today, we want to shift culture even further. I want to bring culture right to your face. And James says, be careful. If someone puts a mirror in front of you and you turn away and you're not changed, oh my. So I'm prayerfully trying to present something, a message to you that you will look at yourself. You will see the answer. Be the gift. Dear friends, since God so loved us. Pastor, that's all you sang about this morning was about how much God loves us. Can you put up that first verse of reckless love again, Troy? Look at these words. Sometimes I think we really ought to do the worship, and then maybe this year we'll do this, but then you should preach the words of the songs we just sung, just so we get this. Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You had been so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me, and you have been so kind to me. Is he really that reckless in his love that he would love you? The answer is yes. Can you be reckless with your love today and say, I'm yours. I'll be the gift. Hang on, it's still coming.
We ought also to love one another.
Look on down in the chapter of 1 John 4. You want to read something? Remember 4, 7, and 8? For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God. He that loveth not is not of God. For God is love. You can't do it. Love, love, love. We're asking you, and thank you.
We love because he first loved us.
He's not asking you to do something or be somebody that he hasn't already been for you. He wants you to realize the power there is. Now, before you put the next slide up, hold it, Troy, because I got to quiz them just a little bit. To be or not to be? That is the question. What's that from? Hamlet. Who wrote Hamlet? Okay, thank you, Paula. Say it louder so that they won't be embarrassed. They're not, no, William Shakespeare. Oh, they put it up there. Troy, don't give it away. Don't give this away for sure. Do you know how long ago? Do you know when the first English words were uttered, to be or not to be? It was between the year 1594 to 1604 when he published Hamlet, Shakespeare. Oh my goodness. You know what's so strange if you read that? There's no Jesus. He talks about to be alive or not to be alive. And of course, we as Christians go to Christ and the life that is abundant, but he never answers his question. I have an answer for you today. That is the question. Are you ready to be a child of God? You are. Yeah, thank you. Turn to somebody and say, you are a child of God, and you are specifically right on. Turn to somebody else and say, you are a child of God. You're a child of God. You are a child of God. So when I say to be or not to be, there is no question. We are children of God. And guess what? It didn't take me, 600, 700 years to figure that out? And it took in the middle, if you study history, in the middle of the Dark Ages, right before the Age of Enlightenment, there is nothing but darkness. Nothing but questions like this. What am I to do? How am I to be? What can I be? And truly that is the question. But the first answer is, you are a child of God. You are a child of God. Makes all the words that Christ talks about you and how much he loves you and gave his life for you and wants to live in you take on a whole depth of meaning that maybe you do. Are you ready to be loved? You know, some people are like this. Prickly, just, I don't want it. Well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If you're not ready to be loved, I don't care. I love you. That's what God says to us. You're my child. You're my creation. I love you. For God so loved the world, not because the world so loved God. You cannot turn that scripture around. You cannot rewrite it. You can't even poetically put it together that way. For God so loved the world that he gave. Are you ready to be?
There is no not to be. The answer, to be the gift, to be what people open up at work to. It's amazing when you put the gift on the table at lunch, wherever you may be, not just work or school or whatever you are doing. When you put the gift out there, which is you, and you say, you know, I know you think, you know, maybe they do and maybe they don't, and it doesn't matter. But you start trying to tell them who you are. That's not a bad place to start. You might, though, go a step further earlier, and that is find out who they are. And then tell them that they are a child of God, that God does love them, and you know how they feel because you've been there before. Be the gift. Start unwrapping the package. Start untangling the knot. I should have done that this morning, honey. I just saw a gift here. We've got to do that through the series. Be the gift. And maybe, I don't know who we can squeeze down in a box, but maybe we could open it up and they could jump out. John's going in the box. He's ready. Oh, I love it. I love it. Look at 1 John 3:16. John. 1 John 3:16. Now, this is the New Living Translation. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. Oh, Leslie, you're going to love this in view of what you felt in your heart. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. We ought also to give ourselves as the gift for our brothers and sisters. Oh, wait a minute. That takes a lot of love. Sure does. But you're the only one that can give it. You are the only one that can give it from you if you are, as God has called you to be, the gift. 1 John 4:12. A new commandment I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this. I'm going to stop there and leave it right there, Troy. That's great. One of the Ohio for Jesus mantras is, we believe, the church. In particular, the Assemblies of God, but not just the Assemblies of God. We're not alone. If we're going to get this job done, we got to have all hands on deck. Every to be needs to be what God has called them to be so they can tell others how they can be also what they are made to be. So, boy, that's a lot of just to be. Have you got the message yet? So, what we're praying for is that everybody in Ohio has a viable witness. Now, in some of the justice, and you'll hear some words in 2019 about that too, because you've already heard it this year. But I'm hearing that message roll over and over and over and over. Justice. Well, justice says everybody in Ohio deserves the right to hear that God loves them. That Jesus gave his life for them. That's what justice is. Has everybody in Ohio heard that message? Oh, Pastor, I'm pretty sure that everybody knows. I don't know about the man I picked up. Scott and I were hunting on Thursday. And it came to the church, and here's a man holding a bag of food. I thought he had been to the food pantry. I invited him back this week, but he was walking between grocery stores or something. He lives down the road here. And I picked him up and I took him home, which is just off the guardrail down here in one of those little wooden barns. That's where he lives. And he said, "Is this place a church?" And I said, "Yeah, this is where we meet. But the church is, I'm part of the church, and everybody here is the church. It's about people." And I said, "We'd love to have you come back, especially on Thursdays, and get all the food you can eat." And he said, "Well, I don't have any electricity." Boy, it hit me. Whew. And you see that little white building down there? That building close to me? When you drive home, you'll be able to see it. That's my outhouse. No indoor plumbing, no electricity. I'm thinking, "God, oh God, what are you doing with me?" So I've got to figure this out. What am I supposed to do? Can I light up every house that doesn't have electricity? There are a lot more people that don't than you know. And many of them we know because they're part of us. It just mind-boggles. How can I be what God wants me to be without getting overwhelmed, Adam, thinking, "I can't do that, I can't do this, I'm not able." You know what? It's not about all the I can'ts. It's not about the not to be. It's to be what I can be. You say, "Thursday, I'm working. I can't get off in the afternoon." Start putting bags behind your seat. And when you drive by those guys at the entrance out here on 77, hand them a bag. Hand them a bag. I guess I'm going to have to start putting them in my car because I pick up people. Oh, help me, Lord. I can't not do this. So will you join me? Will you be who you can be, where you can be? Your neighborhood. You got neighbors that have needs that I have no idea about. And I'm not supposed to know about that because God put you there to be what they need you to be. And if we get this, a revolution will start at Lifeway Church. A cultural shift. Because we are the church. We've had no problems being. This morning you had no problems coming in, singing, and worshiping. But is that Lifeway? I don't say that with an accusing finger. I'm part of this. Is that Lifeway? Is that all there is to us? No. There's a whole lot more to us than meets the eye. A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. This is something I think we can all do a better job. Knowing each other, caring. I was asked this morning about a couple of individuals that people go and minister to. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That's part of being what God has called you to be. And then sharing that with others so that we might pray and agree together and find a way. I don't know what that way is. I got to do something. Romans 13:10. Love does not harm. Love does no harm to your neighbor, to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. You remember we've been teaching that you're not under the law. Paul teaches that you live above the law, which means that your love raises you to a level by being what God has called you to be. It raises you to a level of being biblically fulfilled. It is what we do. It's who we are. John 13, verse 34. I couldn't stop. I kept going one scripture after another. I told Leslie this morning, I said, "Honey, this is so alive in the Word. A new commandment I give you. love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Wait a minute. I think that makes me know we just read that, and I think we just didn't copy the right scripture, 1 John. There was a reason for that, too. So I would look it up here. You got your Bible? I know some of you got your phone, so you can look it up quicker than I can. Here. Come on. You ever want to be somewhere in the Word of God and you just got to stay after it till you're there? 1 John 4:12. Here we go. Can I go back to what I know about this scripture? And that's why God has a way of directing me when I don't even know what I'm doing. He's directing us right now to this scripture. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son to this world that we might live through him. We might be alive in him. This is love. Not that we loved God. But that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. Now listen to this. This is what I was missing, and I knew there was something just nagging at my heart and brain. Larry, you read this. But if we love one another, stand up with me. Come on, stand up. I got to get some blood circulating to your feet right now. Away from your brain. You're going to go to sleep on me. Now listen. If anyone acknowledges... Wait a minute. I'm going to skip down. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another... How many times have I met you somewhere and I put my hand out to shake it and you said, you don't do that. You don't do that. You hug people. If you will be my hands extended, the Lord Jesus says, I will be your Savior. Now, this doesn't save me. This doesn't save me. But it goes a whole long ways to saving us. And I don't want to get to heaven without you. I don't want to go there without you. Paul said, I'd give my life today for the whole church, for the whole world, to know him and the power of his resurrection. Are you ready to love? Are you ready to be the gift so strong that you'll embarrass yourself at Walmart or at Bueller's or at the gas station? I don't care where at. You'll just go running. Hey, Adam, hey, Bob, how you doing? I love you. Come on. Church, are you ready? Turn around and hug one another. Watch this. Terry Bob, I want you to grab John Moore by the neck, and I want you just hug him. All right, come on, just hug him. Look at this. Yay, God. I'm telling you, come on. All right, it's your turn. My two buddies that did that, it's your turn. Turn around and show somebody, really show them that they're loved. I'm going to go over here after Julia. I love you.
I love you.
Thank you, Jesus. I love you, girls. I love you. Reach those arms out. Come on, love one another. Love each other. Woo! Glory.
Thanks, Adam. I love you, friend. And not just in church. Hey, you know what? The church, the Bible says, Tim, the Bible says in Acts that the church met together and they had love feasts. They loved one another. They put all their goods into one big pot and took care of everybody's needs. They were so empowered by the Spirit, so empowered by being the love that God had called them to be, that they revolutionized. Are you ready to change your world? Are you ready for 2019 to be the year that love rules? Now listen, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them. Woo! Hallelujah! If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in you. How about it? You want to say it today, just like Ohio for Jesus? Jesus is the Son of God. Say it. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. Ohio for Jesus. All things are possible. All things are possible. Why? Because Jesus is the Son of God. Woo! I'll tell you what, you might get excited. God lives in us and His love is made. His love is made complete. That's the word that was sticking in my mind. I'm thinking, Lord, I'm going to complete your love. That's what to be is. I complete who God is right here. Is that it, baby? Come here. Thank you, Lord. What part do we need to hear even more about being, just being the gift?
When you read that last scripture, it said that we become His expression. We are made in His image. We are image bearers. So though we cannot see God physically, when I look into your face, I see Him. And I mean that. I'm not just trying to tell you look cute and, you know, you look good today. I see Him. I see His image. And I think when we let Him love us and we really know who we are in our identity as daughters and sons, His love, it's like you just look at each other and you're like, oh, there you are. You know, we did that. Remember Peter Pan? And he goes, oh, there you are, Peter. There, on Hook.
Right.
Do you remember that movie?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there you are. I'm sorry. This is what we do. Squirrel. But just the very fact that the love of God is emulated through your face,
yes,
through your being, through your heart, through your expression,
oh,
through
God,
your cooking, through your hug, through just living every single day. You don't have to become anything. He loves you just the way you are. He made you just the way you are, and He's so pleased with you. And so as you take on that image and that love, and you realize how deeply He loves you because He's like, I crafted you. And then you don't have to do anything. You just go and you just
be
His image.
Right.
So when I look in your face, I see Jesus. I see God. When your children look at your face, they see His image. It's so powerful. I'm done.
To be. That's enough said. I don't even have to say the rest. To be.